Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 422. We're going to continue with chapter 29, verse 19, where Moses was warning them not to go into idolatry, not to think that they can get away with it, you know, not to become evil and stubborn and do their own thing and think that God knows nothing about it and lose their fear of God. And so he tells them in verse 19 that the Lord will not be willing to pardon him. And if God is not going to forgive you, there is no future for you eternally. You see? You're going to be dead forever. And so, in essence, that's what he's telling them. The ultimate penalty of idolatry is death. You know, as Paul would write later on, the wages of sin is death. Eternal death. You're going to die forever. He's not talking just about the physical one. You know, everyone dies one way or the other. Even the righteous die. You see, he's talking about the ultimate here, and this is what Moses was warning them. If you're going to be so stubborn and willfully depart from God and worship idols, that is, in essence, what you are really worshiping is demons and the devil himself, you're going to be one of them. And therefore, you're going to leave God no choice but to totally destroy you and never bring you back to life. And that's what he's saying here, and he's warning them against it. The Lord will not be willing to pardon you, you know, pardon him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall be kindled against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book, you see, because remember, we're reading the 10 curses, that is 12 of them, earlier, and one of them was the final one, cursed be he that does not do all the words that are in this covenant. And all Israel said, Amen. And that's what he's talking about here. And so he says, and all the curse that is written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now, let's go to the end of the book, to Revelation. This is the end, basically, of Deuteronomy, more or less. You know, we're reaching the end of it. Now, let's go to the end of the book that later on... the Apostle John, a disciple of Moses and of Christ, because you're a disciple of Christ, you're a disciple of Moses. It goes both ways, whether you recognize it or know it or not. So here's the Apostle John, a Jew, you see, a member of the Commonwealth of Israel, one that studies the law of God day and night, one that remembers the law of Moses and knows the entirety of the story. What is he writing at the end of his book? What is it that God, the one that speaks to Moses, and now he's speaking to John or through John, is saying at the end of the last book? We read here in verse 18 of chapter 22 of Revelation, "For I testify," John is speaking, "to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book," in particular about Revelation, Moses speaking about Deuteronomy and the entirety of it that came before that. He said, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." As Moses said earlier, don't add, don't take away from it, don't diminish from it. This is the book of the law. You see, the same words, the same message, the same God behind both, the same spirit. And it's the same religion and the same doctrine. That's the doctrine of Christ from beginning until the end. And he's the Word of God from the beginning until the end. You see, people dissected him to pieces, and each one picks up whatever they want. In verse 19, he continues, "And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." You see, and all the blessings that God, speaking to John, Jesus Christ tells him that he that overcomes, you know, shall be in the temple, shall sit on my throne, shall have the tree of life, and all those things, the future, and those who are going to inherit the city of Jerusalem and to reside in it. And so it's talking about all these things. So anybody who is going to add to it, and what is it that people do when they add and diminish? They worship other gods. They don't worship God, because had they worshiped God, they would not have done it. And so when people come up and say, "Well, forget about the Sabbath, we're going to have Sunday, you know, so we're taking away from the law." forget about the laws about clean and unclean. You know, we're going to do whatever we want and eat whatever we want. You know, we're going to justify that somebody said that it's okay, you know, which nobody said that. Peter never said that. And so forth about every given doctrine. All kind of lies and deceptions. God is speaking about them. You add to the book, you take away from the book, you claim that you have a superior authority over the book. That's how they justify it and deceive everybody. And the fools follow them because they don't know any better to begin with. And when the blind follows the blind, they all fall into the same ditch. You see? And what is that ditch? Eternal destruction. They will never exist anymore. Not in heaven, not in hell. Nowhere else. No limbo. You see? That's what he's talking about here. Even if your name is in the book of life, God is going to blot it out from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And he who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. That's Jesus Christ, who spoke through Moses, who is now speaking through John, the same message. No change. Amen, he says. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the God of Israel, that is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Amen. You see, it's been always the same story, the same message. And that's what Moses is saying here. Again, inspired by the same God, Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling his people. That God will not be willing to pardon him. You see? And then the anger of God and his jealousy is going to be kindled against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book, in this case Deuteronomy, in the case of John, everything that was written in the book of Revelation, and for that matter, the entirety of the book from Genesis to Revelation. And that's what they're talking about, you see. They're speaking the same thing. They're not divided, they're not confused. And so his jealousy shall be kindled against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And that's exactly what you read at the end of the book of Revelation. So basically, the same theme has always been there. If you willfully depart from me, even if your name was written in the book of life, I'm going to blot it out. And so, there's no such a thing as once saved, always saved. You depart from the law of Moses, you depart from the law of God, you're out. You see, your name is going to be blotted out from that book. And you can kid yourself all you want and deceive yourself all you want. You see, and lie to others all you want. This is the verdict of God against any person who takes away from the book or adds to it, who claims that he has a superiority over the book, greater right, greater authority, and they can change whatever they want. You see, and people want to follow them. Their names also are going to be blotted out from the book of life. That's what Moses was saying. You know, I give you a choice. A road that you can travel, a broad way that leads to death. You see, that's what you want. Walk that way. Or the other road, the narrow road, as Christ would call it later on, that leads to life. But he doesn't tell them, choose whatever you want. And now he says, choose life. And that's what God tells us too. Choose life. You see? Not death. And so, people who listen are going to be there. People who do not, they will come before Christ and he'll tell them, I don't even know you. You see? Then they are wiped out, destroyed, removed, gone forever. Their names are blotted out from the book. So, you look at it, it's as if they have never existed. Now, that's going to be the fate of all those who insist on rebelling against the law of Moses and the law of God. Because that's the law of Jesus Christ. That's the law of the Father. You see? It's not a law of men. And so it says, the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. He is the one that writes it there. He is the one who is going to remove it. You can play all the games that you want. And if you think that your church is going to help you, fine, go ahead. Let them be your God. Your idols. Verse 20. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that is written in this book of the law. You see? In other words, God is going to and set his eyes against that person or group, organization, or church, or whatever it may be, as he told his own people, you know, unless you repent, I'm going to come quickly, and I'm going to take away your candle from you. You see? There's no such a thing as once saved, always saved. He's speaking about his own people who worshiped him, who received the Holy Spirit, and then decided to go and worship idols and do their own thing, go somewhere else, believe lies. And he's not going to tolerate that. You see? He's a jealous God. Our God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Eternal, and the ultimate would be, after he destroys you, he blots out your name from the book of life, and you have never existed. You see? So, you have a choice. Moral agency is always there. Free moral agency, that is. Verse 21. And so, he said, that's what God is going to do against a person like that. And the generation to come, your children that shall rise up after you, and the foreigner that shall come from a far land shall say, speaking about those people who departed from God, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses wherewith the Lord has made it sick. You don't come to this country and find a healthy nation. A lot of, you know, that, those people are healthy, they take care of themselves in either one degree or the other, but you find a lot of sick people. You know, all you have to do is go to the hospitals, convalescent homes, retirement homes, go to people's homes and see all the sicknesses and diseases that people have. You see, a lot of people manage to live with certain problems, but they're not healthy. We're not a healthy people. You see? Why? Because they have departed from the law of Moses. We're disobeying laws of health that God gave Israel, that Christ gave Israel to live by. You see? And one of them is eating unclean things. Or the poison that is in them, that God told us, don't eat them. Because they're going to poison your body. They're going to defile you. And those are abominable things because of that. Those are detestable things, as God said, for you to eat. Look at them. You see? Don't eat them. You see? It's like, you know, you don't go and eat poison mushrooms. That's the same thing about those things. Don't eat it. Yeah, people eat it. And they're sick. And then they wonder why. And then they say, well, why did God let Johnny die? You see, that's blindness and ignorance on the part of people, and hypocrisy and bigotry at the same time. And so people are going to look at this very sick nation. In other words, if you continue in that way, he says, that's the way you're going to end up. Because God is going to bring upon you, you know, a lot of sicknesses, and you can spend all the money you want on research and solve this problem and that problem. You see, other sicknesses will come, so you haven't done anything, you haven't accomplished anything, so might as well get it straight. And until people are willing to do that, they'll continue to have problems. Verse 22, it says, people are going to come and see that, and that the whole land where thereof is brimstone and salt and a burning, because God is going to ultimately punish people like that who are not willing to repent and make them like Sodom and Gomorrah in essence, and other nations will come and look at it and say, wow, look what happened here. Look what kind of people this were. You see? And so it says, they're going to see this kind of a land, brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown, nor birth, you know, that is, does not produce anything, nor any grass grows thereof, that is therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah at Mount Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. You see? So God is not a respected person, he said. If you behave in that manner, that's what's going to happen to you. And that's what the nations would say, just like they said about Sodom and Gomorrah whenever they walked by. And so it says in verse 23, even all the nations shall say, wherefore has the Lord done thus unto this land? What means the heat of his great anger? What's the reason for it? Then men shall say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord. You see, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And as Moses reminds them, I'm not making that only with you, but with everyone that is not here. That means it's an eternal covenant. The terms, the law, are forever. You see, they have not changed. And that's what Christ said when he came in person. The very God was speaking through Moses. Don't think that I came to do away with the Torah. Because that's permanent. That stands forever. As you read in the Psalms, forever your word stands in the heavens. He says, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled. You see, heaven and earth can pass away, but not these. You see? And yet what the false church had done, what false preachers have done to the nation, to the people, it lied to them. And because of that, for the past 2,000 years, you know, people have experienced war, poverty, illiteracy, sickness, disease, affliction, worries, depression, all kind of evils. And all that is the responsibility of the clergy. And they are the public now, you know, number one of the, that is the enemy number one. Public enemy number one of the people. You see, the false prophets, the liars, the deceivers. And when God comes to deal with the faith, you know, the whole earth, they're going to be the first one to be dealt with and the most harshly. And that's what James is saying, you know, don't be many masters, because we're going to be condemned the most. You see, a lot of people out there are playing games, you know, they're playing religion, they're playing Christ, you know, I'm the servant of Christ, I'm the minister of Christ, I'm the minister of the gospel, and holding the Bible in their hands. You see, blind and ignorant themselves, knowing a little bit of truth here and there, because that's the manner in which Satan functions. You know, he appears as an angel of light, and his ministers as the Apostle Paul. If he appears as an angel of light, he says, it's no wonder that his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. That'll bring a lot of good things, and then feed you with poison. You see? And unless you depart from that, and that's what God says, unless you come out of Babylon, you're going to be partakers of the plagues of Babylon. You see? They're not going to be playing games with anybody. And that's what he's saying here. And that's what people are going to say, because they have forsook the covenant. That's what God says. Unless you return to the law of Moses, that's my covenant with men. Not only Israel, mankind. All the laws that are there are for humanity. And Israel was commissioned to teach all those things to humanity, to be a light unto the nations. Not darkness, not vomit. Not send all those missionaries all over the world and bring them vomit, a mixture of truth and error. You see, and get many followers like them. That's what they've been doing. Many shall come in my name, as Christ said. Many! The majority of those who supposedly come in his name, you see, they're liars. That's what he's saying. They shall come in my name, saying to everybody, I'm the Christ. You know, oh, don't tell, you know, the Lord Jesus. He died for you. You know, he paid the penalty for you. You have freedom now in the Lord. Now you can go, you know, and break his covenant. You know, because the Lord is done away with. And they deceive many. You see? And misery and suffering continues generation after generation because of them. And also the rabbis in Israel, among the Jews, in the Jewish community, also bring a mixed up message, you know, mixture of truth, of the law of Moses and the prophets, and their own concoctions, which God calls, either way, vomit, you see. That's not of him. So blindness is everywhere, and the wrath of God is going to be upon all. The community of Judah and the community of Israel and all the nations of the earth, because all of us have sinned and departed from the law of Moses. You see? We're not as obedient as we should be to it. We'll make our own decisions what we're going to obey, what we are not. You see, not in accordance with the law of God. And obviously, we take into consideration that the law of God also teaches us, you know, that there are matters of circumstances. What can be done, what cannot be done under the circumstances. So we're not talking about that. But the contempt, you see, that is in the heart of man, including those who call themselves the people of God against the law of Moses, you know, the stench of it rises to the high heavens. And so that's what is going to be the ultimate for people who are not going to repent. And so the nations of the earth are going to recognize that. All these things are coming upon the people of God, and when they see the trouble of Jacob, that's what they're going to tell them. Whether they believe that they are of Jacob or not, it's neither here nor there. He says, hey, you deserve it. You know, you've been given all that truth and light, knowledge and understanding. Look what you've done with it. And then he taught us lies too. You see? And so he says, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Well, that's the reason why they have all these problems. All this calamity, the trouble of Jacob, and all the evils that they've had in between. Verse 25, he said, and, you know, they continue by saying, you know, instead of that, They went and served other gods, other religions, other doctrines, other false Christs. You see, the teachings of others who claim to be superior to the Word of God, to the law of Moses, to the Word of the prophets, to the Word of the disciples of Jesus Christ Himself, who is behind it all, the source of it, who Himself received it from His Father, and both of them are of the same nature anyway, so what comes of the Father is His too. That's what it means. And they worshipped them, gods that they knew not, and that He had not allotted unto them. And therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curse that is written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out. So he's speaking here, Moses, about the future, knowing that it's going to happen, and talks about it in the past tense. You see? Just like with God, you know, He calls things which are not as though they are. He knows all these things are going to happen, so He can talk about things like that in the past tense. Are we going to be like that in this category, in the past tense, you know? Have been. You know, once upon a time our names were written in the book of life and now it's all gone. You see? We have a choice. That's what he's saying here. You know, the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. You see? Imagine that. Speaking about the future in the past tense when they have not even entered into the land. That's reality with God, because He inhabits eternity. For Him, there is no past, present, future. He's everywhere. So He can speak like that, and His servants can speak like that when they speak His mind. Verse 28, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And later on, you know, the disciples of Christ, the disciples of Moses, all Jews, who know this statement very well, repeat that again. That's what the Apostle Paul later on repeats, this very statement. You see, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about another religion. As he told the Galatians, whatever happened to you, how can you be so soon removed unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, it's just a lie. You see, how can that happen to you? Well, when you forsake the Word of God, the law of Moses, the light, the truth, the Word that you should study day and night and walk by and obey and abide by, you see, that's how Christ abides in you. That's how He comes, you know, knocks on the door, and if you open, He comes in and He teaches you the law of Moses, the law that He gave to Moses. That's His law. That's His doctrine. You see? So everything that He said when He came in the flesh was based on what He already said to begin with. And He magnified it, and He amplified it, and made it more understandable, more honorable. And so did His disciples. And their whole preaching was all based on Moses. And the prophets, who were all based on Moses. Because that's the origin. You see? And that's what God Himself in person came on this earth as a glorious being and spoke in person all these things to Moses and to Israel. You see? So, think about it from this point of view. Then you understand what it means, the law of Moses. We're not talking about a man. We're talking about God Himself. And so, when you abide by this truth that has been revealed to us, as Moses told them, you know, this you know, word of truth, this secret, is not up there in heaven, you know, where you say, well, no, let's go up to heaven. Who's going to go up to heaven and bring it down? Or who's going to go under the earth? No, he says it's right there. It's in your heart. And Paul again mentioned that again, you know, later on, speaking about Jesus Christ. That's what Moses was talking about. You see? It's not another religion. It's the same one. And look how many have been deceived. And they don't realize that unless they repent, unless they return to the law of Moses, their names are going to be blotted out from the book of life. There is no other way. They're not going to go on a vacation, you know, to heaven. There's no such a place for them to go to. Because heaven is coming down to earth. Verse 28, again, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And that's what Peter, in his first sermon, told, you know, the people of Israel. All these promises are for you and to your children. They belong to us. God gave it to us. He swore by His name to give it to us, and He was not about to take it away from you, regardless how evil you were all this time. You see? Because He is capable of purging you, of cleansing you, of purifying you. But if you willingly insist you do not want to be, you want to continue your own lies, well, even God cannot help you. You see? The people, you know, that are in the hospital, you know, the doctors, you know, when they cannot help you, they say, only God can help you. Well, there comes a time when even God cannot help you because you refuse to be helped. You refuse to repent. You refuse to turn away, you know, from the vomit that he has swallowed and love yourself, you see, and get rid of it, puke it out, and then come back to God and ask him to fill you up with his righteousness, with the law of Moses. You see, it's as simple as that. That message has always been there from beginning until the end of the book, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation, the last verse. And so it says, all the sins are, you know, they belong to us forever. And that is, if we accept them, not if we reject them. And that we may do all the words of this Torah. Not some, all of it. You see? And the religions of this earth do not abide by this law. Not even Judaism. You see? Because many of their laws are man-made. They are contrary to God. They are making the law of God of none effect. You see, and they too need to be purged and cleansed and purified from all that vomit. Retain the law, retain Moses, retain the prophets. That's not something you're going to get rid of. But get rid of anything that did not proceed out of the mouth of God. You see, and so we all need healing, cleansing, purging, purification from all the lies that we've been taught from our youth. And people are born into it. What do they know? A Jew is a Jew because he's born into it, not because, you know, he woke up one day and says, I want to be a Jew. And so is so-called a Christian, a Protestant, a Catholic, this, that, the other thing, Muslim, you know, Buddhist. We're born into it. What do they know otherwise? That's not a reason to be what we are. Is it true? Or is it vomit? You see? Is it the Word of God? Is it the law of Moses? And if it's not, we have to pick it out, or God is going to spew out, you know, every single one of us out of his mouth, as he said he will. Whether people believe him or not, at this point, it's neither here nor there. This is reality, and he can put it in the past tense. If that's the way we continue, it already happened. And that's what Moses had told Israel. Think about it this way. It's a sure, even more sure than the rising of the sun, the going down of the sun. Chapter 30, verse 1, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, depending on what you do with life. You know, the law that I give you, the law of Christ, the law of Moses. So, it says, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have said before you, and you shall bethink yourself, you know, in other words, you're going to think inside your heart, consider, ponder, bethink yourself among all the nations. The word in Hebrew is Vehashevota Elevavcha. In other words, when you turn back and come back to God, you know, bethink yourself is a horrible translation, very poor, unfortunately. I don't know why it's here. This rabbi should have known better not to put a thing like that. But well, that's what God says. When you return, in other words, when you repent with your heart, you see, or, you know, when you just turn away to other gods or to other nations, whichever it may be, you go one way or the other. And that's what he's saying here. When you are among all the nations, whether the Lord your God has driven you, and you shall return unto the Lord your God, you see. So when you return with your heart, then God is going to return you. And then you're going to return to God. So it's the same word in both places, but one he said bethink, another one return, which is confusion. And then in verse 2, and you shall return unto the Lord your God and obey, listen, hear his voice according to all, not some, all that I command you this day. So he's speaking about the future, when the people of Israel are going to be brought back to their land. He said, this is what you're going to do. So there is no other religion in between. There is no new theology. There is no new God. There is no new Bible. You see? It's the same word. And it all proceeded out of the mouth of God, be it in Genesis, in Deuteronomy, in any of the prophets or the Psalms, or in the writings of the disciples, on the Gospels, it's all the same word, the same God, the same person, the same Spirit. You see? To anybody who is not in it, you see, they're doing their own thing. It's as simple as that. Be it Judaism, which is not the religion of God, Christianity is not the religion of God, any other religion on the face of the earth are not the religion of God, you see, but the way that God showed us, His Word, that's the religion of God. And if we do not walk in this way, and all do likewise, believe likewise, obey likewise, you see, we're not of the religion of God. God does not recognize us. That's what He's saying here. When you return to God, your Lord your God, and you are going to listen to His voice according to all that I command you this day. So His voice is Moses. That's what He's saying here. What I command you is the voice of God. And when you do away with that, do your own thing, interpret that, and spiritualize that away, and twist it, pervert it, warp it, understand it whichever way you want, you see, you are not of God. You see? As later on it would be told, he that does not walk like Christ, he that does not have the Spirit of Christ in him, is not of Christ. You see? And that's the Christ God, you know, Moses is talking about here. Same one. The spiritual food that he gave him, the spiritual drink, the Apostle Paul had to in essence, rebuke the Corinthians about, because he said, you are ignorant, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, as we mentioned that statement many times before, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. You see, our fathers, you know, they came out of Egypt. You see, that's what Moses is talking about here. And they went through the Red Sea. They were baptized into Moses and by the cloud, because that's where Christ was, in the cloud. So they were baptized by both. And he baptized them by the washing of the word, you see. And so he said, you know, they all ate of the same spiritual food and they all drank of the same spiritual drink, and they all followed that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. That's what Moses is talking about here. You see? And that Christ could not speak, unfortunately, to his own people in person as he wanted to all the way, you know, only the beginning of it, the beginning of the discourse. After that, they told him, we don't want to hear your voice, Christ, God, you know, whatever they call him. It's the same person. So Moses became the voice of God. So whenever Moses speaks, God speaks. And when you say that Moses is an old religion done away with, God is done away with. That's what you are saying. You see? And your verdict is would be, you know, that you will be done away with. Not God, not Moses. You see? Of which God himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from this law. Why? Because I said so. I gave it to Moses and to Israel forever. And you can lie all you want about it and spiritualize that away. That's all you are. A liar. You see? Might as well change your name to that, because that's your name in the sight of God. Whoever you are, and God is not a respecter of person, He's not impressed with any one of us. All of us put together are less than a drop in a bucket. So nobody impresses God, no matter what highfalutin title or title he has. In any given religion. That's what he's saying here. You shall return unto the Lord your God. That's a reality. It's going to happen because God is going to make it happen. And you're going to listen to his voice. You're going to obey his voice according to all that I command you this day. So you might as well begin now and not wait until troubles come on your head. You see? So he says, you and your children and all with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Not with contempt and grudging spirit. Whether you like it or not, this is where you're going to be. Unless you want to be totally obliterated from, you know, memory. Verse 3. Then the Lord your God will turn, you know, in other words, when you do that, you see, when you're willing, when you give in, when you reject your own path and your own ways and the lies that you've been taught in your church and organization, institution, whatever it may be, your faith, your belief, your doctrines, your creeds, your catechism, your halakha, whatever it may be, when you totally reject that and come back to God all the way, then, and only then, he said, the Lord your God will turn your captivity and have compassion upon you and will return and gather you from all the peoples, speaking by the people of Israel, whether the Lord your God has scattered you. He's the one that did it because of your wickedness. because they departed from the law of Moses. Verse 4, and if any of yours that are dispersed be in the uttermost parts of heaven, what I mean, you know, what does it mean heaven? You know, in the old days, you know, people thought the earth is flat, and when you look wherever you were, you know, on one side you see heaven, on the other side you see heaven. That's what he's talking about, terminology of the time. He's not talking about space age, you know, people went to the moon or Mars, whatever it may be. Some people in their confusion, because they think, you know, from today's terminology, you know, they think, well, that's a possibility, people are going to flee. But even if that is true, it doesn't make any difference where you are. God is going to bring you back. And so he said, he's going to gather you, and if any of yours are dispersed, be in the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord your God gather you, and from thence he's going to fetch you. And what is going at that time? As he said, several places. He's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and he's going to put his law, you see, the very law that Moses talks about here, that was never done away with, and will be there forever. The very law that Christ said, it will always be there. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not this law. You see? Not every title, you know, any tiny little bit of it will be done away with that is applicable. You see, at any given time. That's the law he's talking about. And so that's what he's saying here, Moses. Speaking about the future, the end time, the resurrection, and all the saints, the regathering of all of Israel to that land, the coming of the Messiah, the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. Moses spoke about all these things to begin with, and that's what the disciples were preaching. You see? It's not another message. That's what he's saying here. He's going to bring you back, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. It's not an Arab land. And all the nations of the earth can say whatever they want. You see? When the Messiah, when the Redeemer of Israel comes, he's going to bring all the nations of the earth, and he's going to show them who is the boss. Because you see, when he comes, he's going to zap that whole army that is going to gather against Jerusalem, which includes all the Arab armies that are going to gather there, and all their allies from anywhere else they come, and he's going to zap them. You know, like atomic nuclear explosion in Japan, and he describes it very graphically there. While they're standing, you know, their eyes and their sockets are going to melt, and their flesh, you see, and their shadow is going to be burned on the ground. You're not going to be playing games with anybody, and nobody's going to say this is an Arab land when it is the land of God. And he gave it to Israel, and he's going to bring all the children of Israel back to their land. So they might as well get used to it, and all those who call themselves Christians, and yet they despise these words and don't believe in it. They call themselves, you know, the people of God, and they swear by the Bible when they're elected. And yet they turn around and have contempt for the word of God, for God himself. Well, this is what Moses is saying here 3,500 years ago. This is going to happen whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. It's neither here nor there. He says, you're going to come back here and you're going to possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And the Lord your God will open your heart and the heart of your seed. That is, you know, in other words, he's going to pour the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, as you read in more details later on through the prophets and then the disciples. You see, that's what he's talking about here. The Lord your God will open your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that you may live, you see, not die. That's not the end of the road. That's not the lie of 2,000 years, you know, you Jews, you go to hell, you see, or the false counterfeit church, the great whore that God calls them, the liars and the thieves and the robbers of the faith of many, you see, that made the whole world, as in Revelation, drunk with the wine of the wrath of their fornications because they've been fornicating with demonic spirits. That's where all those lies came from. And people believe it. Because that's what God said. When people do not have the love of the truth, he's going to send them delusions. What it means, demons, to be a lying spirit in them. And they're going to believe lies. That's unfortunately the way many are. And they think that they're righteous people, holy people, saintly people, you know, people of God. And they don't realize they're full of puke and vomit in the sight of God. And that's what God says. Come out of this Babylon, this confusion, or else. So here it is. God makes it very plain through Moses. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul, reading all that, knowing all that from youth, you see, he can write whatever he writes based on that. All Israel are going to be saved. They're all going to be brought back. Read, you know, Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. It makes it very plain there in many other places like that. And that's what he's saying here in the book of Hebrews, speaking about the new covenant. You see, a lot of people think the new covenant is with the Gentile. There's no such a thing. The new covenant is with Israel. The old covenant is with Israel. Israel was the wife of God. Israel will always be the wife of God forever. And few are going to be grafted among the nations, yes, but they are not going to be the nations, are not going to be the church. The nations are going to be the children of that church, of that marriage between Christ and his bride and his wife. You see? Even the majority of the world, the people of God who have the Holy Spirit, do not know it, unfortunately, as they should. Because they've brought the vomit in all their past with them, and they continue to function that way, and that's how they do the work. So-called the work. It's the work of men, to a large degree, with a little bit of truth in it. Or, you know, to whatever degree of truth they have. That's not the purity of it. That's not the faith that was once delivered from Sinai, from the Garden of Eden, that Jude talks about. That unless people return to it, they're going to be left behind. Really left behind. Their name would not even be in the Book of Life. And so it says, the Lord your God will open. He's the one who's going to do it. Jesus Christ is going to do it. The Father is going to do it. And the heart of your seed, all of you, in the future. That's your future. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and that you may live. You see, that never happened. It's coming in the future. That's the fate of Israel. Not hell. Not destruction. You see? That's going to be the fate of the liars. Not the people of God. And unfortunately, the majority of the people of God today, you know, they don't even know that they are the children of Israel because they've been taught lies by their clergy. You see? But the time is coming, their eyes are going to be open, and they're going to love themselves when that time comes, both the clergy and the people. And they are going to return to God and to Moses and obey the law of Moses with their whole being and heart. That's what Moses is saying here. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here through Moses 3,500 years ago. And it's going to pass because God is not a liar. Man is. Verse 7, and the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, that persecute you. And they're all around. And when the world begins to find out who really Israel is, you see, and the people of Israel, who they are going to hate them as they've never hated them before. As it is, there is a worldwide trend and hatred, venomous hatred in the hearts of many nations against the people of the United States, you see, against the British people, against the Western democracies, you see, the nations of Israel, the people of Israel. A lot of people don't realize who's putting that hatred in their hearts, in their minds, you see. That's the devil himself, and they're going to hate his people, and God is going to cause it. He's also behind it, not only the devil, to punish his own people, to purge them and purify them. 90% of them is going to allow to be decimated. 10% of them is going to bring back to the land and multiply them. And then bring all the rest in the second resurrection, whoever lived. You see, the whole house of Israel. And then deal with them and make a new covenant again with them. Renewal of the covenant, the marriage covenant that is going to happen at the time of Christ. Just like Moses is doing, you see, 40 years later. And then all the prophets later on that brought back Israel, like Elijah and then others. You see, that's what they've done. And Ezra and Nehemiah, that's what they've done. Same thing. And so that's what he's saying here. God is going to put now all those evils upon your enemies who hate you and persecute you. And that's a future prophecy. It's going to happen in a much greater intensity than ever before, which is going to be, you know, the trouble of Jacob. The trouble that came upon Israel that has never been and never will be again, as you read in many places like Daniel and other places. That's what Moses is talking about here. That's why you can never forsake Moses. You see? Because that's up-to-date reality. Forever. Any given time. There's nothing old about it. No more than God is old. There's no such a thing with God. Old. He's eternal. You see? And when people called Old Testament, that's what they're saying God is, old. He's not an old fogey. You see? We are old fogies and we corrupt, you know, like the leaves on a tree. And then that's it. We're gone. Not God. And so it says, you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord your God and do all His commandments which I command you this day. And that's the future of Israel when they return to God. They're going to return to the law of Moses. And that's what Moses said here 3,500 years ago, because God said it through him. He's the voice of God. And so whether you like it or not, you can spiritualize what you want now and argue and debate and what about this and what about that. You're all full of vomit when you do that. One of these days you're going to acknowledge it. Well, anyway, we're going to start with this point. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.